Okay, good evening, everybody. Oh, I lost all you on the screen. Okay, so last week we were discussing the issue of Mila al Hakos, what are the statuses of that cup of wine that is drunk? And we came across an interesting Ramah, it's in Hilchos Shabbos, but in Hilchos Shabbos, when discussing what to do about Kiddush and about a bris, he adds in, the Ramah says, Hayamutr lemoel ulasandik lishtos mikos shel Mila, B'Shabbos b'Shacharis im shosin kashir, that and it's going off of the idea that in Kiddush el b'makom suda, that you have to eat a Kiddush where you have your suda, but the cup of wine, assuming you drink a sufficient amount of it, could qualify as your suda. So the Rama comments, he says, oh, by the way, so in Mila, so what do you do about the wine if you're doing a bris on Shabbos, because you're not allowed to eat or drink anything until you make Kiddush, so you haven't made Kiddush yet. So the Rama says, well, the Kiddush on Shabbos day is really just the bracha bari priya gefen. So therefore, it is permissible for the Moel and the Sandik to drink from the cup of the Mila on Shabbos if they drink a shear, if they drink a sufficient amount, because that then qualifies as A, their Kiddush, and B, the amount that they drink is counting as their Suda. That's what the Rama says. Sounds like it's a great idea, but then he concludes with four words. He says, "Aval nahagu litain latinok." He says, "Our minuk, however, is to give it to a tinok," probably not referring to, in this case, not referring to the baby, not the circumcised one, but rather it's going to a child that is around. Why is it going to that child that's around? So the Mishnah Berurah comments. He says, "Well, there are those that are concerned for certain shittos of the Rishonim." Rabbi Kiva Eger records them, the Levush is the most prominent that he's quoting in the Shar HaTzion, that this doesn't work. The idea that you can make Kiddush and the wine that you drink will qualify as the Su'uda, will qualify as the sufficient amount to count for the meal, not everybody assumes like that, so therefore the Mishnah Berurah suggests giving it to a child instead. Now, we do that sometimes, right? If you're ever in shul on Friday night and there's no child to give it to, so we have the chazan drink the wine Friday night, and he drinks a shir, he drinks a proper amount in that way. But we're choshesh for that shita, choshesh for that Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Shar HaTzion says, and therefore he doesn't do it. So in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchas, he says, yeah, but what could you do? Right, the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa Perek Nun Dalid Halacha Chaf Gimel. He says, "V'ulam imhu ochel pasaba b'kistin achrei berchas hageved shel hayayin." I mean, besides having a cup of wine there for the bris, have a piece of cake, have some cookies around. Harehu yotzei de kiddush b'makom suda. So then you could be yotzei kiddush b'makom suda. V'yishtehu atzmo es hakos, and then he could drink the kos. And don't give it to a child. V'lo yitna latinok. V'yochal, and then he could eat. Pachos lepachos kizayis mina pas, a little bit of the bread, hababakistin, as we learned earlier. Vegam yishtet, he could drink a little bit of the wine as well, in order to be yotzei the suffix of what to make of a bracha achrona, and everything is wonderful. So that seems to be how the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa concludes. He seems to be okay with that. It seems to be what he is recommending. Now, I did come across an interesting in Rav Asher Weiss published recently a sefer. There it is. You maybe see it here, right? Minchas Asher. Oh, Klali HaMitzvos. And one of the klalim he discusses is the concept of Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos. What page did I put this down on? Nunches. Right. So one of the early. There it is. Okay, so he has a long essay on the idea of enos and mitzvos chavilos chavilos, that mitzvos shouldn't be done in bundles, that you shouldn't combine shouldn't combine mitzvos together. This concept shows up in the Gemara a little bit, in the Gemara a few times. I forget the... one Gemara he quotes right off the bat is, don't give two sotas to drink from one cup. Vazav enos and mitzvos chavilos chavilos. And this other example, there it is. The most famous example is in Pesachim, just because everybody learns Arvei Pesachim. There it is. B'nei chabur shayim esum v'kaddish aleim hayom mevi'in lo kos shel yayin v'omer lav kiddushas hayom v'sheni omer lav berchas hamazon. That if people were eating before it becomes Shabbos, you shouldn't use one cup. At least Rabbi Yehuda holds, you shouldn't use one cup. to bench and to make kiddush, because enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus. You shouldn't join the mitzvos together. It shouldn't appear like a bundle. Now we do it sometimes. I mean, the gemara there is in the context of, well, we do havdalah and kiddush on the same cup sometimes, right? When yontif falls out on Motzi Shabbos, so we do put them together. So you got to explain why they're allowed to be together. But anyways, isn't this making kiddush and making the bracha for a milah? Shouldn't that be a classic example of enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus? Why should that be allowed? That's what Vasher Weiss, that's what he raises. Well, he quotes those who raise this question, not the pretty Be'er Moshe, and from Rav Schoenbach also. They raise this question that you shouldn't do that, right? Against the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, don't do that, because that's going to be a problem of enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus. So there's three approaches that you could give. Number one is that the Rambam holds that enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus only applies when they're both mitzvos d'oraisa. It doesn't apply to mitzvos d'rabbanan, although some argue on that, but that's one possibility. So this, the Kiddush Hayom, we're not going to say is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and really the what exactly is the status of the wine on Mila, that's probably not also. But that actually leads to the answer to Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. He says that Mi'ikar Adin, you don't need a kos for the Mila. So if you don't really need the cup for the Mila, it's not going to then be a problem of enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus, of muddling the mitzvos together. Right. The Minchas Asher then adds in his own pshat, where he says that, well, also, the bracha of Bori Pri HaGefen is not a bircha. The problem of enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus, of joining mitzvos together on one cup, suggests the Minchas Asher, is only when you're actually joining mitzvos together. But if one of the brachos happens to be a birchas hanenin, it's really just a bracha that one is benefiting from. So that's not going to be a problem either. And then finally, the last thing he suggests is that the idea of kiddush in the beginning of the day meal is not really kiddush hayom, rather it's to show that this meal is different from all other meals. So as long as you're having wine before the meal, usually wine is during the meal, here you're having wine before the meal, that's sufficient. So even if you're having the wine before the meal and it's combined with a mila, it's combined with a bris, that also would be enough to alleviate this concern of enos and mitzvos chavilus chavilus. Okay, so that's a sort of a addition to the end of last week's year. This week's year, so we're going to turn in the Beis Yosef pages to Hey. We're going through these issues of that the Baal Iter raised. Right, these aren't really aren't from the Gemara. These are just sort of he's recording things from the Baal Iter, and he says Heicha. We're in the Torah, right in the middle of the page. Hey, where it says V'chasav Od Heicha Deika Treyin Nuke Lemimhal. Let's say you have two children to give a bris to Bevei Kanishna in one shul. So came the low efshar lemahilna bechada. You're not able to give them both a bris at the same time, right? Tzricha bracha kol chada bechada. You need a bracha on each one. They're considered independent. Now the Baal Iter is choosing his words carefully. What is that svara? Because you can't do it at the same time. So it seems like he's contrasting that with a different type of cut that we do in halacha, and that is the mitzvah of shechita. Right? If you ever have gone to a shechting house, I still have this dream of taking a class trip to the David Elliott chicken factory. It's a mishpacha of mine, sort of by marriage, but they do offer tours. So what did they do there? I went once when I was in Moresh HaKola. My co-counselor was a nephew of the David Elliott of the Finks, who run David Elliott Chicken Factory. And so we had the whole Kola went on this trip. And you pretty much the truck pulls up, right? You ever see on the highway, sometimes you'll see the chickens like in those crates. That's how they travel along. The truck pulls up. And they just unload the chickens, right? They just chicken one by one, and the shochet is standing right there. As soon as they get to the edge of the loading dock, that's where the shochet is doing shechita. So he's doing one after another, after another, after another. He's not making a bracha between each one. He makes a bracha in the beginning of the day, and then goes ahead and shechs all of those chickens. So the Baal Iter seems to be saying, right, that you that by Mila you would not do that. You would not just make a bracha ala Mila and then do several Milas. And he gives a svara. He says, because technically you could do shechita of several animals at once, but you can't do several brises at once. I didn't have time to look up what the source is for that, but that apparently is the halacha. So therefore only...
Don't you need to say
Shechianu
as well?
Oh, so hold the Shechianu is Sif Zion. I don't know if we're going to get there tonight. That's the Machlokes. Ashkenazim don't say Shechianu on Bris, by the way.
And the
Svardim do. Svardim do. Ashkenazim in America don't. Ashkenazim, apparently, I didn't realize this, in Eretz Yisrael, the Minog is more likely that they would. That's a Machlokes. Well,
so this will solve this problem.
What? Why does a Shechianu solve any problem?
Because then you need to one for the first Mila and one for the others, and for the second one, and you cannot do one or two or three.
Okay, so Shechianu is not going to play a role there. Here we're talking about the Birchas HaMitzvah. What does come up, we're going to see now, is that Bris Mila does have multiple brachos, which is going to be an issue. Yes, Joel, what do you want to... Joel, what's your...
I just wanted to make a point that I went to a Bris of twins.
Yes.
And made like a five-ten minute
right.
Walked out of the room and
yes. So don't spoiler alert. Joel seems to be right, but that seems to be against Shulchan Aruch, as we'll see. Okay. So.
But once you have Shechianu, it's not a problem anymore.
Well, I don't think so. Shechianu is sort of on the side. We're talking strictly about Birchas HaMitzvah right now. What do you? Right, we're talking strict. Right, Shechianu is not a Birchas HaMitzvah. Shechianu is a celebratory exclamation, I guess. We'd say something like that. For Svardim, you might, but that's not going to play a role in this issue. Right, right now we're trying to figure out when to do the Birchas HaMitzvah, the Bracha of Al Hamila. So the tour continues on and quotes from the Rush. He says, "My father, the Rush, wrote in a tshuva that if you have two children, Mishiesh l'shnei tinokos lamol olavarech l'shnei chasanim, or if you're going to do two weddings back to back, yivarech bracha achas l'shnei, you should make one bracha for both of them." I mean, the Rush does say to do this. And even if there's two different moels, the first person can make the bracha al hamila, that counts for the second one, and the second one make the bracha of Asher Kiddush Yedid Mi Beten, which comes at the end of the mila. That would count for the first one. But even if the second child isn't there yet, because the Moel has in mind that I want this to cover the second bris as well, the second child as well, even though he's in the other room, so long as he doesn't have any hesach hadas, so long as he doesn't have any interruption between them. Okay, so let's just go see a little bit of the sort of the Rishonim on this. If you take a look in the beginning of the Beis Yosef in Hay, so he quotes about Harashba Kasav B'Tshuva, right? He quotes first from the Itter here, and then says the Rash writes in the Tshuva, Mishiesh lo beis banim lamol biyachad, if you have two sons. Now, is a little bit of ambiguity here if it makes a difference if they're both sons, if they're twins, or if they're two children, right? Just random children in Shul, or three or four or five. Right, but the Rashba is a tshuva, so he's talking about the case of twins. So ein sarach levarich ela bracha achas al shneim. You'd only make one bracha on both of them. Now the bedek habayis, right? So what is the bedek habayis there? So the bedek habayis is like the things that the Beis Yosef added in for the second printing. That's what the bedek habayis is. So he says sarach limchok mishiyesh lo shnei banim lamol. He says take out that line biyachad. Ein tzarich levarich ela bracha achas. I mean, he seems to take out the whole thing I said already. But tzarich lam, what it should say is vafilu barich bracha achrona bein rishon l'sheni eino chozer umavarich al hamila b'sheni de bracha zu eina hefsek. He says as follows. He says no. The Rashba is stating a bigger chiddush, right? Let's say you have two children on the docket to have a bris that day. You'd make the bracha al hamila on the first one, and then as they're wrapping him up, out of habit, he just says, "Ah, bracha tashem lekein melchalam asher kedish yedid mi beten." It goes with that bracha. So the Beis Yosef says what the Rashba then says is, is that you still, that's not considered a hefsek. That's still not considered a separation, and you would not require a second bracha for the second child. Okay, and it goes in some detail about the father's the moel, but okay, I think that's sufficient for us for now. Okay, so let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So in the Shulchan Aruch Simon Reish Samech Vav Sif, where are we? Reish Samech Hei Sif Hei. There we are. Reish Samech Hei Sif Hei. So the Mechaber says, he quotes the Paskins like the Rush. He says, Mishi Yeshlo Shnei Tinokos Lamel Yivarech Bracha Achas L'Shneim. You should make one bracha for both of them. Vafilu im shnayim malim, even if there's two people doing the bris, two moels, harishon yivarech al amila, va'olagam l'sheni, the first guy makes the bracha al amila and accounts for the second one, v'asheni yivarech asher kedishin mibeten, va'olagam l'rishon, he makes the end bracha and accounts for the first one. Who makes the third bracha, the bracha of lachnisu v'vrisu shel Avram Avinu? The dad! Right? And that's what the Beis Yosef that we didn't get into, that's what the Beis Yosef is discussing. The father is the one doing the bris, so he would make the bracha of lachnisa before him. Vafilu ein anar lefanav, even if the child's not there, v'shasa bracha kemesh daito alav, because he has in mind to do that second child, rak shelo yasiach daito bimneim. So long as he's not going to siach das between them. That's the position of the Mechaber. Comes the Ramah and says, Aval im sach bin time. If you do have this discussion between them, oh shelo yadaito al habez atchila, or the moel had no idea that there was a second child in the next room, right? And all of a sudden, you know, some other mother heard that they were doing brises that day, so brought her child. So sarach levarach shir kedushin b'etar al rishon, v'lachsul levarach al mila sheni. So then he would end the first mila and then make the bracha on the second child. He would get his own bracha. V'dafka im sach bedvar. So long as he interrupts with issues that are not for the purpose of Mila. Aval im betzarche Mila, lo havi hefsik. If it's a tzorech Mila, it's not considered a separation. Okay, and then the Ramah comment adds that thing that we had before. But Val, vafilu im shachach v'erach asher kedishin mibeten lachar harishon. Even if you made that bracha after the first one, einu tzarech lachsul v'erach al amilu, the bracha lo havi hefek. That bracha is not considered a separation, as we stated earlier, with regards to kisui adam, with regards to the covering of the blood.
How do
they
decide who is the first one?
Okay, so hold off on deciding on the first one. Let's just resolve this bracha issue first, and then we'll get into, that's an very interesting discussion about who gets to go first, or who maybe, I don't know, maybe the children don't want to go first. I'm not sure what their preference would be. But anyways, so the Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying, at least, you know, to both Mechaber and Ramah seem to agree that there should be one bracha for all the children on the docket for that day. Right, so the shach comes. So, but Joel, however, observed that we didn't do it that way. Where's that coming from? So the shach comments on this, and he raises as a stira. Actually, he says, "Hey, wait a second. If we go back and pull out our Yoredei Achelik Alephs again and go all the way to the beginning to Hilchos Shechita, there seems to be a contradiction. Because in Sif Yud Simin Yud Tes Sif Zayin, Kasef Arav, the Mechaber writes, the Yesh Omrim, that Filu Lo Haya Daito Al Hasheni, that even there are those who say that even if he doesn't have Das on the second one, Ein Tzarech Lachzor Ulevarich Keshehein Mimin Echad. He says, if you're shechting chickens, right, you're on the back of in the David Elliott chicken factory, and you shecht 10 chickens, and you think you're done for the day, and all of a sudden they say, hey, look at that, we have one more. So he thought he was done. So does he have to now go ahead and make another bracha? So we paskin not. We paskin that you don't have to. So why here? So long as it's the same animal, so long as you're still doing chickens. So asks the shach, he says, well, tinokos ha min echad hein, right? The babies, they're all one type, right? They're all, not only all one type, they're all one sex, they're all boys. right? So why shouldn't that be the same thing as over there? That, oh, even if you didn't know that another person was coming, you could all subsume it all under the same bracha. And he says, Bishlama abal iter. So remember, we gave an explanation for that, right? When we learned the Torah, so the Torah was quoting from the Baal HaIter. The Baal HaIter said, no, Mila is fundamentally different than Shechita. For Shechita, you can do multiple animals at once, while Mila, you can only do one child at a time. That's the halacha. So they're fundamentally different. So he says, if you, according to the Baal Iter, lo kasha mida, I don't have a problem. This is the Shach Tesvav. Why? Da'afal gab de divrei harav sham heim divrei Baal Iter, and even though the Shita of the Mechaber, I'm afraid to say, I didn't look it up, I assume it's the Mechaber, maybe the Ramah, but sham heim divrei Baal Iter, shehevi atur sham, v'kan kasav atur b'shem Baal Iter, kem de lo esher l'malinu kechada tzricha bracha. About chada v'chada, the low dami l'shchita, the efshar the shochet har behemus biyach ravas achas. About v'mila iyo shalom anhilu kachada v'hainu shakas abal iter, kiyem the low efshar malinu kachada, etc. The low dami l'shchita, therefore it's not like shchita mehay taima, v'the low kaprisha shakas of tzarech iyan. Halo kasav bal ha'iter le'el b'din shchita, the im heim min echad, ein tzarech lachsu ulevarech. Ve'efshar the shiny shchita the derech lishut kan behemos zeh achar zeh masha enki b'mila ad kan l'shono. He says, however, that's not the in tzarech lachzor ulevarech. Ve'efshar the shiny shchita the derech lishut kan. Right. Plus, he gives a different reason over there. The reason by animals is because shchita, the general practice is to do multiple animals at once. Right? According to the way we just learned over here. So, all right, we have a distinction. But over there, we give a different reason for why you could do multiple animals under the same bracha. And that is because the derech is to do them, to do one after another, as opposed to by mila. He says, V'lo nehira, da hamashma afilu haya daitu kan al harbe tinokos, machifal iter beis brachos, bitam depreciates. Misham depreciates. He says, but why would the Baal Iter here say, give a different reason? That's the Shach's question with regards to multiple reasons, right? So there's two reasons already being given, but you can make a distinction on both. Number one is it's not the way to do multiple milas at the same time. And B, right, we don't normally do it that way. And B, it's usher to do multiple milas at the same moment with the same act. But those are both possible distinctions. Fine. He continues on and says, Shuv matzasi birivashim and shinpei dalet hevi lashon bal iter. Where he says, "Vehecha de ikalei trei yenuke lemimhal, vevei kanishna mistabro lan kevin de lo efshar malhinu kechada gufei mechulakim ninhu v'tzricha bracha akol chada v'chada v'lo darmi l'shchita." He says, "Oh, by the way, I found a rivash that seems to say the same thing." You know, okay, one second. V'lo darmi l'shchita. I've lost my place here. Below dami l'shchita, the hashem efshar l'shchita l'shavai kachada, right? And the Rivash says the same thing as this. Okay. Skip about, we're now, towards the end, skip a couple of lines.
Another question.
Yes.
What is the rationale that the animals which are actually shechted in sequence are being shechted at the same time?
Because the halach is you can actually do multiple animals at once. If you line them up at the same time, you can take a knife and take them all out.
Do they do that?
No. I mean, I don't know.
You win. I didn't.
No, that's not the practice. But halachically, they could, as opposed to Mila, which you couldn't.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. So, okay. So, Inyan Dina, the Shach concludes, and this is where he says this. I conclude in Simen Yutes, that filu b'min echad tzarech lachzu levarech, that I think you do have to go back even and go make another bracha. Im kein hu adin acha. He says, and so too here too. Miuhecha she'ein minhag kasav abach sheish linhog ulevarich akol chada v'chada. He says, I think that the minhag should be that you should make a bracha on each one. V'yunizharim shelo yavinu beis tinokus biachad. And specifically, don't bring them out at the same time. Lebeis akneses. El bezeach hazeh, rather bring them one after another. Ula achar shenim al ha'echad yaviyu abeis. And only after they do the first bris should they do the second bris. Ad kan l'shono. That's how he concludes the Bach. V'chein nachon la'asos. He says, and I think that's correct. Why? Mishum dal harov mafsikin beitayim. Because if you've ever been to most shuls, right? it's going to be very hard to keep people to not interrupt between them. Besicha betela, she'en mitzarchi mila, v'hav they hefsek. And therefore it would be a separation. So therefore the Shach concludes that maybe ideal, you know, the Shach himself seems to be on the opinion that you really should make multiple brachos anyways, but even within the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, it's probably best practice to set it up so that you will need to make two separate brachos. Why? He says, because the only way you can make one bracha is if you don't have any interruption. But generally, you're going to have an interruption. Now, I would just add the caveat, it's not so much, I mean, the halacha really is about the moel. It's not really about the people in the shul, right? The people in shul are going to talk, right? But the moel could be more careful. But yet, nevertheless, the Shach says that's best practice. And we artificially attempt to distinguish between them. That's what he adds in. And in fact, if you look at the Pischei Tshuva Yud, he sort of codifies this from the Darchei Noam. Well, I don't know who the Darchei Noam is, but he says, Shekasav de Mitzrayim. Okay? So in Egypt, the practice was, Nagu levarach al kol echa b'fnei ach, so they'd all get their own bracha, v'achar milas ha'echad omrim psukim. Hamalach Goel, and after the first Moa, first Bris, they would sing Psukim, they would say Hamalach Goel, and similar things like that, in order k'dei lahasiach das, in order to interrupt between them. V'hu minug vasikin, and that makes sense. V'imheim shel adam echad, mevarecha av lahachniso, gam kein al echa bifnei atzmo. And if they're of one person, meaning it's only, if it's one dad and he's doing the bris on twins, he would make the bracha, also the bracha of lachnisu bevris, that would also be done on both of them, and that seems to be the practice, right? So the practice seems to be that that we interrupt. Now, I would just add that what do we do between them? So my on Sukkis, so my niece and nephew had, well, they had twins before Sukkis, and then the bris was on Chol HaMoed Sukkis. So they had twins, and so I got to see it. So what did they do? So between the first boy and the second boy, they're twin boys, right? So between the first boy and the second boy, so the father got up and gave a Dvar Torah. Now, I would just point out, the truth is, come to think of it, right, he specifically gave a Dvar Torah on Hilchos Sukkis, not on Hilchos Mila. So I was thinking, right, you get up and give a Dvar Torah in between, if it's on Hilchos Mila, you don't solve the problem, right? So it makes sense that that Dvar Torah that's between the two children should specifically not be on Hilchos Mila in order to ensure that we are mafsik appropriately. Okay, so that's with regards to, so that's the minog. I did see here in the Psakim Utshuvos, just to conclude this issue, that I think across the board, if there's multiple children in a shul from different families, you certainly, the minog is to make a bracha in between. He quotes, however, in the Psakim Utshuvos from Rav Yashiv, that if it's actually twins, to do one bracha, to do it like the old way, to have one moel, to make the bracha, and the bracha should cover both of them. I was surprised to see that. I don't know if that minug is kept, but apparently he quotes the name of Rav Yashiv that would be the recommended practice with regards to twins. But I don't think the most people go that way. He suggests the Shach also sounds like that, but I'm not sure where he sees that in the Shach. So which child gets to go first? So I skipped the Pischei Tshuva test. You go back to Pischei Tshuva test. He deals with that. He says, "I am b'tshuvas bris avram al dvar shtei milos biyom echad va'achas mehem shelo bizmana im yish lahakdim lamol zeh shenolan mikoda." He says one of them was a lo bizmana, right? So the mole's in town, and he's got one for a day eater, and then he's got one whose bris was pushed off. Okay? For whatever reason. So who gets to go first? The bris bizman or the bris shalo bizman? So he says, if that's the case, yibishlachtem lemol zeh shenolan mikodem, he says, should you do the older one, meaning the child who was born earlier? Because he says, no. Degam b'shtei milos bizmanam lo matzah shum svara lahaktim dafka lezeh shenolan tchila. He says, there's really no svara to, even if they're both bizman, to have the older one go first. I think they probably always do have the older one go first. That's probably because for a tiebreaker, but there's actually no halachic reason, he says, to have the older one go first. Rather, v'simin shin nedalad gavi shnei mesim, and he says, in simin shin nedalad, it talks about multiple dead people, right? So who gets to have a first funeral? So then you go with the guy who died first. So if you go with the guy who died first, you should go with the boy who's born first. Right? He says, no, that they're different, right? Ein raya. Tahasam chal hachiyuv miyad b'shahames. He says, because there, the chiyuv started as soon as the person died. So, so that person's chiyuv has been around longer, so you better take care of the person who died first. He says, however, by us, in the case of Bris, Teramisa Sheni. Masha'en kim bezeh, the chiv chal biyachad. Here, when does the chiv start? So even though one child might be older than the other one, right, the chiv actually begins simultaneously. Right? It actually begins at the same time. Mitchilas Yom Shmi, the beginning of the eighth day. Umikol makom nagu lahavi tchila zeh shenolan mikodem. However, our minug is to bring the older child first. Why? Efshe shehu mitam shelo yisor kina umachlokes. He says it's a tiebreaker. That's a way of resolving the shaila. Dalko panim barat im huva lebeis haknesses zeh shenolan achron in lahamtin klum rak lemol miyad. He says, however, let's say the child who was born later in the day shows up at shul first. So guess what? He gets to have the first bris before the older one. It's really not a halachic reason. I remember Shechter used to quote a story that when the Shagasari was the Rav in I'm forgetting. Oh, well, the Shagasari was the Rav in Volozhin for a little while, but I think this is talking about where he was someplace else. The Shagasari taught Rav Chaim Volozhiner as a young... Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I read the biography of the Rav Chaim Volozhiner over Yontif. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner grew up in Volozhin, and the Shagasari was the Rav there for a while, and he learned by the Shagasari for a little bit. So anyways, the story goes that that there's once a machlokas about who should say Kaddish or who should be the one to lead davening in terms of whose chiyuv comes first. So Shagasari said, let's do a gagora, let's do a lottery. So somebody came and asked him, he says, I don't understand, the mugging of rum gives an entire order as to who should go first when you have multiple chiyuvim, right? So he gives a whole hierarchy. So why are you saying pick a goral where the mugging of rum gives his hierarchy? To which the Shagasari responded by saying, well, how do you think the mugging of rum came up with his hierarchy, right? He also did a goral, right? So that's what that's what he suggests is going. So that's what goes here as well. It's the same thing here, meaning, yeah, you'll have the older child go first, but it's really a tiebreaker. It's really like the same thing as flipping a coin. It's not really a halachic justification. So anyway, he says, however, v'chol zeh im shneim bizmanam. That's if they're both happening, they're both eighth day brises. Aval benido dinan, our case, she'achas hi shelo bizmana. One of them is not at the right time. Bevadai tzrichim mikodem lamul hamila shebizmanam. You should certainly have the one who's having the bris bizman at the right time. Right? So what exactly is the svara? Because mitzvah bizman, a mitzvah at the right time, is considered a more chashuv thing. So therefore, he should go first. So that's the conclusion of the Pischei Tshuvos. So a week or two ago, I went running. And I came across on the headlines podcast on Podbeam. So I also get they give you recommended podcasts for you. So I was recommended to listen to Jewish history. I'm afraid to press the button because I don't want to interrupt the recording. Oh, there it is. Rabbi David Katz, somebody out of Baltimore, gives. I think he's the rabbi of a small shul, it seems, and he's been giving Jewish history classes during coronavirus zman. He's like, I've been giving one class a day. So he gave a shiur on Rav Avram Kahana Shapiro, who was the Rav of Kovna. He actually died in the Kovna ghetto during the war. He was the major posek in Europe. Him, I guess, along with Rav Chaim Ozer, in the period leading up to World War II. So he wrote the Shailos Teshuvos Dvar Avram. He actually, Rav Kahana Shapiro, I think he, I'm not sure, I looked at, I tried figuring it out today, I think he actually gave Rav Soloveitchik smicha. I'm not sure if he did or not, but he certain, there is a, I couldn't figure out from the biographies who actually gave him smicha, but there is a letter, a famous letter that Rav Kahana Shapiro wrote, where he says, I tested Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, and he writes, the spirit of his grandfather rests upon his young shoulders. That's his. That's the famous quote from his letter. So I'm not sure if that's the smicha or that's just a letter that he wrote about him. But anyways, he was the major posek leading up to that period. And in the Dvar Avram, he actually writes the opposite svara, and he actually gives the svara. He says, if you have a bris shelo bizman, a bris not at the right time, and a bris bizman, he says, I think the bris shelo bizmana should come first, because the bris bizman is the mitzvah is to do it on that day. The mitzvah, when it's a bris shelo bizman, the mitzvah is to do it as soon as possible. So when you have the comparison of one to do as soon as possible and one to do some point on that day, he suggests that the bris shelo bizman should actually be first. However, he couches it at the end of, I'm not really sure, if everybody's willing, welcome to argue on me, whatever. So so he sort of leaves himself, not non-committal on this shiloh.
The problem is that if they do it very late in the day and they don't want to get into darkness, then I assume you text the boy who is 8 days old rather than the one who...
I could see at that point there being a brawl. I don't know. It might be the stronger father would win.
The moel can be late, or we are talking about Saturday and he walked a lot and so on and so on.
Right. No. It could come up. I'm not doubting that it could come up. I'm just saying at that point, meaning the ways of resolving these issues has been which goes first. When there's actually a, like, it's a much bigger shaila as to which one happens, right? Because you can't just do it after dark, right? It's going to be one or the other at that point. Would the same rules of kadima apply? Probably, but I'm not sure.
In a sense, you need to delay to the next day, and the way to delay for the next day means that you do it for the guy who is late anyway, rather than...
Right, so I hear your svara. I'm non-committal. I don't know. I hear the svara, but I'm not sure. Okay.
What else? I have to ask you because I see the Seder Brit Milah according to Sephardic synagogue tradition, and they have not only Brit of Avraham and not only Shechianu, but they also have Borei Pri HaGefen, Borei Atzev Samin, Eshet Gidei Kedidni,
yes,
and so on and so on. So all of this should be done for one child before you move to the next.
Yes.
Child.
Yes. Yes. So that is that's the minhag today. They do the entire bris for child A, then they pause. Someone gets up and gives the Dvar Torah, and then the entire bris of number two. That's the minhag that we do. Now the Ramah here at the end adds in. Nope. Yikes. He says, first of all, if they're both of one father, Omer lach nisu b'riso shel Avraham Avinu, he would say one. Okay. Then he says, v'chein omer kaim esa yeled, etc. V'itakein kol tzarchei mila l'chol echa b'fnei atzmo. He says, you would prepare all of the tzarchei mila, each one for themselves. Kigon, for example, haner, the candle. Shemadlikin yasa l'chol echa ner b'fnei atzmo. Each one should get its own candle. Now, I don't know, is anybody, Yochanan, you're shaking your head like you know what this refers to. Have you ever seen specific...
I think the Ikaron, the concept is very good, because you may ask, can you use the same knife, can you use whatever, and so on and so on. And the answer is no. You should, make sure that the knife and everything else is already dealt with, and so on and so on. So they want to be picky about the nail, the candle, because they want to tell you everything should be new for the new
right.
knife.
Right. So I'm just pointing out here that that the Ramah is mentioning here a minug of specifically having candles for the bris. The Shach also mentions it a little bit later on in Sif Chaf Aleph at the bottom of the page. The Shach also mentions the specific minug of having candles. And he adds in, and in Pesachim Metshuvos, he adds in that the Mishnah Berurah comments, V'gam b'yom tov mutter lahadli kaneiris l'chavon amila. that even on Yontif, you could light special candles for the kavod of the Mila. Not necessarily that it's needed to see, right? I can think of that being a pretty good reason to have extra candles by the Mila. But besides that, it sounds like there's some idea of having candles. I don't know if I've ever seen it. If anybody travels around to multiple brisses, maybe they could see that there's a minug specifically of having candles. To the point that we would even permit you to light it on Shabbos. He says, on Yontif. On Shabbos, he says the minhag is to have larger candles from before Shabbos in order to be in fulfillment of this minhag. Okay.
But we don't light a candle today, right? As far as you know.
I've never seen that practice.
Because I don't have it in my Seder Brit Milah, which goes like 5 pages, maybe more. You don't have it.
Right. No. Yes. I've never seen it. I at least a specific nair. I don't know. Okay. So Duvav. I guess it looks like Shechianu is going to have to be held off. Let's just do Vav while we're on the page. It says Heicha de'efshar avdinan lemila ba'asara. He says where possible you should have the mila done with 10 people. Heicha de'lo efshar avdinan b'pachos me'asara. If it's not possible, you would do it with less than 10 people. Where is this idea? What is the special idea of having a minion? So the truth is, the dark emotion in the beginning of the simon mentioned the reasoning to do that. He says, number one, why should you have a minion by a bris? Dimidamin tino kanimo liyotze mi beis isurim shetzarach lahodos ba'ape asara. That the child is compared to somebody who's leaving prison. And when you leave prison, so that's one of the things to say, Birchas HaGomelan, Shetzarach Lahodos Bafi Asara, and therefore you should do it in front of 10 people, and therefore you do Hodu, and other praises as well. And then the other idea is L'Persumi Mitzvah, to publicize the miracle, but again, if you don't do it, it's not going to be Ma'akiv. I would just add in with this idea of, praising in front of 10, that's Birchas HaGomel as well, right? So it's not what the child's doing, but Birchas HaGomel. So there's one of the psukim released today from Rav Schechter was that anybody who tested positive for coronavirus is going to have to say Birchas HaGomel. All right? So, Gabai, you got to think about this ahead of time, how we're going to pull that off. But not anybody who was sick, anybody who tested positive, he thought should have to say Birchas HaGomel. So, what do you mean?
After you saved from the coronavirus, no?
Berchas HaGomel is the Berchas Hodah, is the Berchas of thanks. That's the equivalent. That's the equivalent of the Korban Todah. So you can. We'll have to think about how we're gonna pull that off when the time comes. Here via Menu, Amen. All right, we'll stop here. Yeshakayach, good to see everybody. Pirkap and Mirza Hashem next week. Yeah, question? Nope. Okay.